And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, it's a beautiful day today. It's still sunny, of course. We're in, August. Wait just a minute now. It is August. I tell you, I dungeoned myself in. I guess that's what you would call it, writing my books and all. Sometimes forget what month I'm in. It's just terrible. But I'm not out of my mind yet. Yes, it's September. Well, great to be with you. We have a volume of secrets. Once a month, I do secrets. And boy, Jerry, what volume is this? Like 217 or 18? Maybe we'll tell them at halftime. What, 216? Okay. Can you imagine 216 volumes? That's 216 months at least we've had this feature. And we take up a lot of news things. I collect news articles. I guess I'm just a hoarder, H-O-A-R-D-E-R, hoarder of news items. My wife tells me I'm a hoarder. She talks about all the books and articles and everything that they're all over our family room and our, everywhere but the kitchen. I leave that kitchen to Wanda. I don't touch it. She'd run me off with a military tank if she could when I get into her kitchen. But every once in a while I do, wander into there and grab something from the icebox, the refrigerator. We used to call it icebox back in the old days. Refrigerator and so forth. But sometimes I even ask her, Wanda, would you like me to get you something while I'm in the kitchen? And so that's how it goes at our house, though. But she's constantly badgering me to get rid of all these books and things. And I'm promising that I would. And I'm afraid I don't keep my promises very well. Because there's always something exciting to read and discover, isn't there, folks? I hope you'll get my books. Jump into them. I mean, Mysterious Monument, around 600 pages. Codex Magica, around 600 pages. That's a lot of pages I put in books. Conspiracy World, I think around 450, something like that. And, of course, I've done dozens and dozens of books over the years. Sometimes I go back and I get my first books, and a lot of timely information in there. Very, as if I wrote it yesterday. But, it's interesting how when I read my books, and it's fun to read my own books, and I say, wow, this guy can write pretty good. And I realize, well, it's me that wrote that. I mean, I guess, you have to be proud of your work. But I was telling Wanda that. She says, boy, you're a narcissist. I said, you don't even know what that means. And I just laughed real big, Of course I am, Wanda. I have a lot of confidence, a big ego, I guess. I don't know. But in any case, I like to read my old stuff and remind myself of what I know, I guess. I don't know. It's a great, great life, isn't it? And the thing is, friends, when you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you're going to live forever. That's the thing. I'm wondering, why should I be so intent to read everything right now? And sometimes, I just fall asleep reading. In my chair at night. Why should I be so intense on and so, wanting to read everything I can? I've got all my life. That means thousands and thousands of years. I mean, I don't want to read it all up and then be bored. I wonder. I think we're going to know so much more about this conspiracy. What I know about the global conspiracy and all these horrible things happening around us is really so little compared with the overall mass. Think of that. Now, I know I expose a lot of things here, and a lot of you are my friends because you appreciate the fact that that's what I do full time. I'm here to bring Jesus to the fore. And behind Jesus, there's a bunch of baggage, right? And I like to expose that. I really do. I enjoy exposing evildoers. But I wonder in heaven, you're going to know so much more anyway. I guess there's new fields to plow, pioneering projects. You know, God's going to keep us pretty busy up there. And we're going to love it. We're going to enjoy it. But some people ask me what I do for a living right here on earth. You know, I meet new friends, and what do you do for a living, Mr. Mars? And, you know, I'm sort of stumped. I want to say, well, I have a Christian ministry and have a Christian radio program, but I always want to say, well, I don't do anything for a living. Because if you really enjoy what you're doing, you're really not working. I mean, it's this is not a job. It's not a job. It's not. I mean, if I didn't get paid for it, if I had to pay the ministry, I'd probably still do it. In fact, some months our income is so low, I think I do pay the ministry to let me work here. Well, that's the attitude. You know, I always tell my grandkids, find a job, you know, ask God if it's the right job for you, the right work, and find a job that you like, and you'll never have to go to work. Isn't that true? Find a job that you love, and you'll never go to work. You know, you'll be going to some office or some building. I understand that, or maybe out in the open in nature, whatever you're doing, but you'll never really be working. You'll be enjoying it. I recently met a man. He has a sort of a group work where he's paid thousands of dollars by big corporations to put their executives to work. Now, he has a place out in the country, this gentleman does. And he has all kind of, like, he has a bunch of logs and brush to clear. And I said, now, how does your development, you know, human development program work here? He said, oh, well, on any given day, come out and visit me, Tex, and you'll see I have about 15 guys working over there cutting logs. These are all executives, CEOs, vice presidents of high-tech corporations. I said, okay. And then over here, he took me and he said, now here we're clearing a bunch of brush out. I said, you mean to tell me these guys, these making $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 a year, they take off their suits, they put on work clothing, and they go out with a rake and all this, these garden tools things and clean up brush and such? Oh yes, he said, part of human development. And he said, and then we go back in and I have leadership talks with them. What did you learn today cutting those logs? And what? Well, see, that's, I guess they go back to their companies, corporations, Hewlett Packard, you know, Motorola and all these big corporations. And they bragged to everybody. Oh, I love that human development. Oh, I got out there and worked. I cut brush. I did this. You know, I mowed lawns and all that. You know, I really grew as a person. See, it wasn't work to them. It was, they were told that it was human development. They believed they were developing as humans. Now, I tried to convince the guy. I said, listen, I've got a lot of work in my house. I've got the yard to mow. the roof's leaking. I need some more shingles up there. Maybe these guys can come out and get some human development at my place. But he didn't fall for that. He wouldn't go for that. It all depends on your attitude, my friends. And when you have an attitude, you know, a lot of people have jobs that they don't like. I understand that. But get in mind that, you know, God is happy with you wherever you're at, if you're happy. If you're not happy, then he's probably not happy either. Think about that. Well, let's get on to these secrets, because I've got some things to cover here today. Let me read just some great letters. I get so many great letters. I wish I could just spend program after program reading the letters I get from you. From you. They're fantastic letters. Here's one from George Young, and he talks about Dr. Paul Craig Roberts' article entitled War Crazy. He said, it shows that our current government is run by criminally insane, that is psychopathic, sociopathic, neocons, mostly Jews, truth be told, threatening both Russia and China with nuclear first strikes. Are these countries expected to remain sitting ducks waiting for our incoming nukes? If we don't dump these matoids, that's our leaders, pronto, we're facing a nuclear holocaust, and better hope that divine providence will step in to preserve our planet for a nobler destiny. Wow. So, Tex, you have a masterful interpretation of these current events that helps to clarify the situation for Christian patriots. Well, thank you, George. I appreciate that. George writes me a lot, and I always appreciate his letters. They're very insightful. He also said, by the way, let me just add this. This is great. I don't worry personally, of course, because I know we will meet in the kingdom under the just administration of Jesus Christ. And he quotes 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8 through 10. Speed that glorious day, says George. Wow, I like that. Well, you know, this is what I've always told you, my friends, and I'm just repeating what the Bible says, but if I had to repeat anybody, I can't beat God, right? I like that. Under the just administration of Jesus Christ. That's. Can you imagine that? I mean, after living under George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama, to have Jesus Christ be your leader? The just administration? Wow. Won't that be great, folks? Can you imagine going from Obama to Jesus Christ? That's a leap, isn't it? Man, wow. I love that. Thank you, George. Here's from Catherine. The Matrix of God. I read this book when I was really sick. It helped take my mind off my ills. Great book, Kathy. Well, Catherine, thank you very much. Isn't that fun? She read this book because she was really sick, and it helped take her mind off my ills. Now, I recommend that, folks. When you get really sick, grab one of Tex Morris's books, curl up, and start reading it. You might forget your pains, your ailments, and, you know. I tell you, when I was the sickest is when I wrote such books as DNA Science and the Bloodline of the Jews. I was sick all the time I was reading that book. I mean, I was writing that book. See, God gave me something to do. I couldn't go to the office and work. And so I just got on that book. I got interested in it, and boy, I just went right at it. So keep that in mind. Here's one, dear Tex. Please pray for me as I pray for Power of Prophecy. Well, thank you very, very, very much, James. This is from Brother James. I know for a fact that the Khazars are not real Jews. They're not disciples of Jesus Christ. They're hypocrites, just like the Muslims denying the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, your book about DNA science and the Jewish bloodline is masterful evidence of the love of the truth. May the Savior bless your soul and family. Well, James is a private occult Christian investigator. That's what he does. And I appreciate that. Well, isn't he right, folks? The Jews are just like the Muslims. They deny the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They deny that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he created this planet, as the Bible tells us. They are Antichrist. Now, some may say, well, this group, the Jews, are better than this group, the Muslims, on this thing, in this area, or whatever. You know, you get down to saying, well, you know, you're trying to compare the devil's people is pretty hard. I like to say there are two scorpions in a bottle. Somebody wrote to me recently and said, Tex, you never expose the Muslims, only the Jews. Well, he doesn't know my ministry. I've done several programs exposing what the Muslims believe, their hellish doctrines. Of course I have. Now, the Bible, however, doesn't mention the Muslims. It mentions the Jews. In the book of Revelation, twice it talks about the synagogue of Satan, not the mosque of Satan. Doesn't mean the mosque or of God or Allah, which is not God's name. It just means that they are not going to be a huge threat in the last days to Christians, to the whole world. But Jews constituting the synagogue of Satan will be. Now, I didn't say that. God did. Revelation 2, Revelation 3. Read them for yourself. It wasn't the Muslims that persecuted the early Christians. They didn't even exist until around 600 A.D. It was the Jews. So keep that in mind. That may be why I cover the Jews more. Of course, they are the last days world religion, but they have a lot of helpers, don't they? They have a lot of armed troops in uniform, you might say. They're uniformed. They're costumed with devils. But right now, I'm more worried about the Jews. They're the ones that control the U.S. government. They're the ones that are using the United States as a bully boy force throughout the world. The Muslims don't really have much influence. They're hurting a lot of people. And boy, are they not. God keeps records. He does. God knows everything that goes on. You could call it that great big old computer in the sky. God doesn't need computers. He's got a brain of some sort. He knows. He is the master intelligence of the whole universe. And I want to tell you something, Muslims, you ISIS criminals over in the Middle East, you will pay for everything you've done. You cannot harm God's children, the Christians. We are God's children. We are Abraham's seed. Galatians chapter 3. We are Abraham's seed. We are heirs to the promise. And you're harming those poor Christians. And you will. I pity them, but I also pity you. It is sad what you're not going to be given, what, 71 virgins or something up in heaven. You're going to go to hell, my friends. It's going to be a hellish existence for you. Saddam Hussein did not mistreat Christians. I was recently reading where there were 1.5 million Christians in Iraq out of 30 million people during the days of Saddam Hussein. Of course, we overthrew him. We made up excuses to go in there, claimed he had weapons of mass destruction, and the United States brought all his troops in there. We lost 4,500 dead, around 30,000 wounded. But we got rid of old Saddam Hussein. We hung that rascal, didn't we? And we gave him. What did we give him in return? Democracy? Are you kidding me? No. A free country? No. We gave them hell. They still have hell. They're now broken up into three parts, Kurdish, Sunni, and Shia. The Sunnis, supposedly, are ISIS, which is paid for by American dollars. You're paying for ISIS. And they claim they came out of Syria. Yeah, we put them there. We paid them. We built up ISIS. ISIS is the United States forces. There are 300 Americans, I read in the mainstream press, which lies, of course. There's probably more than that. 300 Americans that have volunteered and gone over, and now they're fighting with ISIS. If they are with ISIS, then they're the ones that killed so many Christians, massacred them. There were 1.5 million Christians. Now, the experts say there are no more than 250,000, a quarter of a million. They've gone down from 1.5 million to a quarter of a million. What happened to all the others? They fled. They're refugees, or else they're dead. This has been a holocaust of Christians. And Obama goes and plays golf. He's teeing off at the golf course while Christians are being tortured and put to death by people, Muslims, monsters, that he paid. He's still giving them the money. They're based over in Jordan. And we've gone into cahoots with the United Kingdom, the British. We're working also with the crooked, corrupt Egyptians and the crooked, corrupt Qataris and the Saudi Arabia monsters. And we're killing Christians. ISIS kills Christians. ISIS is paid for by the United States, and we're paying Israel to train many of their people. And we've given them all their equipment. They have the newest equipment, the most modern tanks. They even are flying drones. Now it's claimed, Obama says, they're doing too much damage. Now we're going to go in and send our military forces. We already have 600 or 1,000 special forces people. That's the Green Berets on the ground. We've been sending in a few flying sorties of aircraft here and there to bomb them. Now he says we have to go to their headquarters, which is Syria. Well, you see, about 2 years ago, we wanted to go bomb Syria because they were threatening to overthrow Assad, the president of Syria. But that's not why we wanted to bomb Syria. We wanted to go bomb Assad, the country of Syria. And we put all these monstrous terrorists in charge up in northern Syria. And we thought they would destabilize the country, overthrow Assad, take over Syria. But you know what? Assad outsmarted him. He has superior military. And he's obviously liked by the people of Syria as a president. And he has thwarted ISIS. So we sent ISIS into Iraq because we wanted also to divide Iraq into three parts. That's America's doing. Now we've armed ISIS to the teeth. Now we're going to bring them back into Syria. Now they're going to attack Syria again. Now America says we are going to go bomb the ISIS insurgents, the ISIS terrorists inside Syria. No, we're not. We're going to go in there and help them. Anytime you hear about American airstrikes or military or money going in to Syria to fight ISIS, it's a lie. We're helping ISIS to defeat Syria. Keep that in mind, my friends. Now, Obama could not get away with that before. Putin over in Russia said, don't touch Syria. So Obama changed his plans. And he's waited for a couple years. Meanwhile, he threw Ukraine into the mix. He and the Jews overthrew the government of Ukraine. And now Poroshenko, the Jewish president, the hideous creature who is killing Ukrainians, he's our man. Russia, we thought, would be so occupied with Ukraine on their border, an American Jewish presence on the border, that they wouldn't have time to keep us from going into Syria. That's why we're going into Syria. Folks, we need to stay out of the Middle East. If we had not intervened in the Middle East, Iraq would still be a functioning country with 1.5 million free Christians. Do you understand that? It would not be divided up into three places. There would not be an army called ISIS of terrorists. Syria would not be under attack. There'd also be a free Syria. I realize there's no democracies over there, folks. There's not going to be for many years. But there never has been. And don't tell me that Israel is a democracy. Israel is not a democracy. It's a theocracy. That's a government made up of religious terrorists. That's what Israel is, a theocracy. If you think it's free, then try to immigrate there. Now, all you Christians, especially you Christians down south, the Southern Baptists, the Pentecostals, that love Israel, you're Zionist, why don't you go over there and live? Fill out the immigration form. Say, I love Israel. I want to go build it up. I want to work for Jesus. I want to help Israel. I want to rebuild the temple so the rabbis can go in there and, you know, mock Jesus Christ by having their sacrifices once again. He was the one sacrifice for all times. His name, Jesus Christ, the name above all names. But they say, no, that's a blasphemer, that Jesus. He's evil. He's evil. That's what the Jews say. So that's the kind of government you're supporting, an Antichrist government in Israel made up of theocrats that hate Christians. And you cannot immigrate. If you are a Christian, you cannot immigrate to Israel. Now, to come to America, all you have to do is walk across the border, I guess. We don't have any borders anymore. There's no southern border. We know that. I mean, people wanted to build a fence all across our southern border with Mexico. But George W. Bush did not want to build it. He spent millions on it, but it left all kind of gaping holes in it. Why didn't he want to build it? No, he didn't want any border. The North American Union plan calls for our border down in Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, south of Mexico. And in fact, that is the border now. And everyone that wants to come to the United States from those countries is allowed to come. And believe me, they're going to be allowed to stay here. Now, you people out there that believe in the Republican Party, write to your Republican representative in Congress. Write to your Republican senator. And see how much they're going to go along with you. You tell them you want to close the border down. You want to enforce our current laws. We're a nation of laws, are we not? Well, you people who love the Republicans, just write them. The Republicans are the one that gave you Obamacare. Now, I know the Democrats were involved too, obviously. The Republicans will lie to you and say, well, I voted to repeal Obamacare. But then they turn around and voted to fund it. Boehner and all these people, it's amazing. That's the kind of letters they write you back. Yes, I agree with you. We need to close that border. Absolutely. Ha, ha, ha. But they tell the American Chamber of Commerce, don't worry, we're not going to close the border. We're not going to build that fence. We're going to allow all those Mexicans and South Americans and Central Americans into the United States. Now we've begun the school year, and folks, teachers are writing me. Teachers and principals across the nation are writing text bars and saying, my school is so crowded, and they're all foreigners. In Virginia, the elementary schools of Virginia, one-third of all students are Spanish-speaking. That's in Virginia. That's not on the border. Well, remember what Obama has done. He's taken all these kids in, hundreds of thousands, and he's given them all free rides, free tickets, where? All over the United States. So now they have hundreds of thousands in Massachusetts, Minnesota, Wyoming, Washington State, Oregon, Florida, Virginia, West Virginia. I get people saying, well, you know, I was raised and born here in this little town in Ohio. We didn't have anybody but people like me, you know, white persons here. And now over half the town are Asians and Mexicans. Yeah, that's right. And none of them are citizens. But Obama wants to make him a citizen. Boehner, the House Speaker, wants to make him a citizen. By the way, don't criticize John Boehner. That guy is super intelligent, the House Speaker. I recently read where he made hundreds of thousands of dollars on one stock market transaction. He and a bunch of his cronies there in Congress. Yeah, there was a bank, you see, that was fixing to be bought up. Their stock was going to be bought up by a larger bank. And John Boehner, being a super stock market intelligence guy, rushed in and bought stock in the bank that was going to be bought up. And 9 days later, his stock exploded upward when the news came out that it was to be bought up. Now, I think he had ESP. Yeah, he's got extrasensory perception. He's a Wall Street genius. He bought the stock only 9 days before it blew up in price. He knew before anybody else did that it was going to be bought up by this bigger bank stock. I don't know how he did that. Do you, folks? He had to be a genius. That's John. This is the caliber of congressman we have. When the House Speaker, whose father was a barkeeper, gets to be rich because he has friends that tell him little tips and things, and he becomes an insider, which is a crooked, against-the-law transaction, then you know. Boy, then you know. That's the caliber of leadership we have. The just administration of Jesus Christ, George Young said. Boy, wasn't that brilliant? That's what I look forward to. I don't think you're going to get any stock market tips up in heaven, folks. I don't think people are going to get rich from their cronies telling them about inside transactions. Remember Hillary Clinton? She made $100,000 in about 1 hour buying cattle futures. What did she know about cattle? Well, she knew what a friend tipped her on. It was against the law. But she didn't get to go to prison. No. She became First Lady, U.S. Senator, Secretary of State. She's rewarded. But first, it all started with her making $100,000 in cattle futures as a little lawyer with a Rose Law Firm there in Little Rock, Arkansas. Boy. Now, let's go for a short break. We'll be right back with more secrets. I am Tex Mars. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again. You know, I love your letters. I got a recent letter from Steve from Lakewood, Colorado. And he addresses it to Hello, Tex, Wanda, and everyone at Power Prophecy. Thanks for the copy of Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, Steve says. I'm about halfway through, and I'm immensely impressed with it. Then he says, I've always wondered why no one seems to do this. Everyone seems to have a pet theory or event that they care about, but they don't seem inclined to put it all together, put a name to it, and boldly call it what it is. In this book, you dare to do all of that. You don't seem to pull any punches. I appreciate that, and I thank you for it. And then he says, would you please send me a copy now of both The Matrix of Gog and DNA Science in the Jewish Bloodline, and use the rest of the enclosed check for your ministry. Thanks. In love and truth, Steve M., Lakewood, California. Well, thank you very much, Steve. You know, everybody that gets Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star is impressed. Here's a huge book of facts, and like an encyclopedia of crimes of the Jews and the Zionists over the years. They can't believe that President Nixon was forced to resign by the Jews, that his vice president, Spiro Agnew, was kicked out by the Jews, that the Jews actually bribed Harry Truman as president of the United States so that Harry would recognize Israel as an independent state. They didn't even have a nation until 1948 when Harry Truman recognized them. If the United States had not recognized Israel, it couldn't exist. We were the superpower in the world. The other superpower was the Soviet Union. And Joseph Stalin was head there. But they also got to Joseph Stalin, and within two hours after the United States sent out a letter saying, we recognize Israel as an independent nation, Joseph Stalin announced the same thing from the Kremlin in Moscow. Obviously, this is a planned event. Stalin and Truman together working out a deal, making Israel a nation. But it took $2 million in a bribe. That's right, it was a bribe. $2 million in suitcases brought to his train, his campaign train. And folks, I think I'm the first one that ever wrote about that and exposed it in my book. And by the way, it's from the FBI, was one of the sources that I had. I give you all the information in the book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. I want you to have this book. You'll understand why American politics is crooked and corrupt when you get this book. You'll understand that, well, the Zionists have been very busy. The neocons got us, as you know, into the recent series of Middle East wars. Who are the neocons? They're a small group of corrupt Jews in Washington, D.C. Who do they work for? Israel. Well, here's how to get your book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. If you don't have this book, I promise you, you're missing out. You're missing out. I put the best things in there that I could. I had so much information. Wow. And you know, every once in a while, I'll read some newspaper article. It'll talk about some disclosure, some amazing information that's come forth, some, you know, exposure. This event or that is, this happened back in history. And now everybody's going to know about it because it's in the New York Times or the Chicago Tribune. And I go back to my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, and there it was. There it is. We were the first to tell you about it. Many people today still don't understand Watergate. How could a little break-in at the Watergate complex force the resignation of the President of the United States, Richard Nixon? Well, it didn't. I'll tell you about that, too. How that all occurred. And much more. In The Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. You get your book by sending us a gift of $30. That includes $25 for the book. It's a big book, friends. That's why. It's a big book. $25 for the book and $5 shipping and handling. A total of $30. we'll send it right to you. We're getting this book printed. I don't know what printing we're in now, but we're going to make sure it stays in print. We'll have it ready for you. Get this book, and you know you'll have to. You can't lay in bed and read. It's too heavy to hold up with your hands. But it's a big book of information, of proven information. I've never had anybody to doubt me. I've never had anybody to sue me for the information in it. They can't. It's true. Conspiracy of the Six Pointed Star. Total of $30. We'll send your copy right to you. Send us the $30 by cash or check or money order to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or you go to our webpage. That's TexMars.com or PowerOfProphecy.com. PowerOfProphecy.com. You can order right there using your charge card. Maybe you use PayPal. Get it right on our website. And, of course, if you get our newsletter every month, we have an order form, and you can use that order form and order it. What? You don't get our newsletter every month? Why? Just write us for a free copy. And you'll like it, I promise you. And then you'll write back and say, give me a free subscription. All you have to do is buy any item on the, you know, on the list there, and we'll give you a free subscription for about 6 months. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. You can order the book from the receptionist, or you can just say, I want a free newsletter. I don't want to buy anything. I want that free newsletter. Okay. The receptionist will very, very friendly. We'll give it to you. We're not going to ask you to buy anything. We'll give you a free newsletter. 1-800-234-9673. Name of the book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. But, of course, we have a catalog. Ask for a copy of our catalog. We'll give you that, too. Matrix of Gog, of course, is our newest book. DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline is a very important book we recently done. Let me tell you a little secret. We've got another book coming up. In about 2 months, watch for it. I'm going to be talking about it right on air. It's by Martin Luther, and it was written in the year 1543. That's a long time ago. He wrote the book on the Jews and their lies. I'm talking about the great Christian reformer, Martin Luther, over in Germany. And this book is unavailable anywhere else. I couldn't get a copy. It's not in English anywhere. It can't be bought through Amazon, Barnes & Noble. They don't have it. I mean, the Vatican and the Jews have worked together to keep this book out of print. So what did Tex Mars do? Well, I printed it again. Now, they have a little booklet, like, you know, about 30, 40 pages, something like that, you can buy. But we got the whole book. It's going to be on Amazon if they'll let it go on there, and it's going to be right here in this ministry being offered. I read the book myself. I was amazed. I mean, Martin Luther was right on target. This is an amazing book on the Jews and their lies. Please don't order it now, but we'll announce it. We're going to put a nice cover on it. We got it in English. Everything that Martin Luther said about the Jews and about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He defends Jesus against the Jews and all of their blasphemies. This is an amazing book. I love it. By Martin Luther. You'll want a copy too as soon as it gets in. Now let's return to our regular program. Al wrote to me again, by the way. Al from he's from Michigan, right? Yeah. Al and his lovely wife, they stopped by the ministry, I guess it was about a year and a half ago. He says, Tex, I appreciate all of you and your staff's efforts. I know you have asked God many times why, and you often lose heart in the daily struggle against the evil one and his agents. But be assured that I appreciate your tireless effort. God bless you, Wanda, and your staff. That's Al D. You know who you are, Al. And we know who you are. Thank you so much. You know, he says, without you, it would be hard-pressed. We would be hard-pressed to get God's word to so many faithful listeners. I know that's true. And Al, I want to thank you and your lovely wife. You've been a faithful supporter of this ministry for a long time, and I just appreciate it so much. Well, let's see. We have so many other letters to read, but we better get on with some more secrets, huh? Let's see. Hey, how about this? A startling new political science study concludes that the people of America have no voice in the say of the government. Did you get that? The people have no say. In other words, we have near zero impact on U.S. policy. That's why nothing happens. The immigration law is not enforced. 80% in a poll, 80% of Americans want it enforced, but they won't enforce it. They keep saying, we're going to give you a new act. We're going to give you new laws. We don't want new laws. Enforce the old ones. They don't do it. We don't have any impact at all. Well, maybe near zero impact, according to this study. It says that corporate interest and mega wealthy individuals control U.S. policy to such a degree that the preferences of the average American have only a minuscule, near zero, statistically non-significant impact upon public policies. My goodness. This study, by the way, was authored by Princeton University professor Martin Gillens and Northwestern University professor Benjamin Page. That's amazing, isn't it? We've got a democratic country. We vote for our people. Our representatives, they represent us. That's why our republic, we're represented by these wonderful hundreds of senators and congressmen. But wait, a study has found that our opinions mean zilch, nada, nothing to the politicians. The solution, say the scholars, is a, quote, reinvigorated and engaged electorate. Yeah, fat chance. They say, if policymaking, this study says, if policymaking is dominated by powerful business organizations and a small number of affluent Americans, then America's claims to being a democratic society are seriously threatened. That's the conclusion. You know, I don't know why they had to spend all this money for this study. They could have just asked me or you, couldn't they? I'd have told them. Now, people tell me we're gonna kick the Democrats out next time. Yeah, that's right. November, they're gone, man. We're gonna have a different change of government. Let's see, change. I heard that word before. I think it was in 2008, wasn't it? Ooh. We have a change. Oh, yeah. But, folks, seriously, we're going to have to discover some way. I pray that a revolution is not needed. That's needed, but it doesn't have to be. I pray. We need to pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of things that have happened in my life that I didn't believe I could overcome. Obstacles that confronted me. And I thought, this is, you know, I'm going to have to face this. I'm stuck with it. But not so. I told you about that sickness that I had, that illness a few years back. All I could do was sit at my kitchen table and write, and I could barely move to take a shower, I would lay in bed at night and, I just suffer trying to sleep. And I said to God, well, Lord, if this is the way it's going to be, that's all right with me. I don't want it to be, but if you can heal me, please do, Lord, please. That's what I prayed. I was accepting. I said, well, if this is what you want, that's okay. But I pray it's not. I pray you'll give me victory over this illness. And he did. A lot of us have that. These, you know, you don't have a job, or you've lost your job, or you're afraid of losing your job, or a loved one, and you have a spat and she leaves or he leaves and you don't have anybody to help you and you're lonely. And I did a sermon some time ago, and I've been folks have recommended that I do a whole book. And the title of that sermon was A Fragile Bird He Will Not Crush. You know, I read a book about psychopaths, and they said that these horrible creatures, these psychopaths, to them, they can take a bird in their hand and crush it, and it means nothing to them. Just take that poor, innocent little bird and just crush it in their hands. for the fun of it, they think. And I thought, how different is a child of God? How different is God himself? You know, I picture you and me and others, other human beings, as children of God, as fragile birds. We're just like the bird. Bad things can happen to us. We're sort of unprotected. Oh, I know you think you've got a house and a car and a job. Those can be stripped from you any moment, at any moment. And then you're like that bird. You're in a tyrant's grip. He can crush you at any minute. Or can he? I think God watches over us. I believe God protects us. I believe many of you out there, you have a testimony. If you could write to me today, and I pray that you will, you'll write to me and you'll say, Tex, I had to overcome this. I had to overcome that. I was sick. I had, my child was ill and in the hospital expected to die. I had to overcome these things. And I did through the faith that I had in Jesus Christ. A fragile bird, he will not crush. I do believe that, Lord. I believe it. Well, the judges rule against another monument. Over in Bloomfield, I guess that's Illinois. Boy, a federal judge issued a ruling against the city of Bloomfield for placing, oh, how horrible this was, the city. They placed a Ten Commandments monument on the front lawn of the city hall. But this federal judge, smart and wise as he is, ordered it removed. Mm-hmm. God. U.S. District Judge James Parker wrote that the monument constitutes government speech and is regulated by the First Amendment's Establishment Clause, which prevents the government from making laws respecting an establishment of religion. You know, we thought the First Amendment gave us the freedom of religion, but what it does is prevents the freedom of religion, according to this stupid judge. Now, he wrote a 32-page opinion. It only takes me one sentence to tell him my opinion. You're an idiot, judge. Well, it's... Oh, well, that's over and done with. It's happening across America, though. Monuments are coming down. They were put up by faithful Christians in years past, but they've got to come down because the First Amendment says the government cannot give you freedom of religion, cannot allow you. You already have it. You're born with it, freedom of religion. But the government cannot let you exercise it. Now, I know you read the First Amendment different. You read it like I do. But these stupid judges... Boy, hey, here's somebody interesting. It says, Dear Brother Tex, letter I got. As I believe you know, the Star of Rephaim of Amos 5 in the Bible is that of the Israeli flag. It has 6 points, 6 triangles, and 6 lines. 666. This same star is the Great Seal of the United States. It's over the Great Seal of the United States, says Donna and Jack, the authors of this letter. It's in front of every embassy in the world, over 200 embassies. It's on the USA dollar bill. It's the highest symbol of evil in Satanism, Illuminati, and Freemasonry. That's right, the Jewish six-pointed star, 666. You know, people ask me, what is the mark of the beast going to be? And I say to them, well, could it be there will be an image, a symbol, a mark that is coded 666? They say, oh, yes, yes, absolutely. I say, well, where is that mark in the world today? Oh, it's not here today, is it? I say, oh, yes, it is. It's the six-pointed star of the Jews. And their face just drops. No. Yes, yes. Well, Jack, Donna, you're right. Likewise, now they go on here. This is a great letter. It says, likewise, Revelation 11, verse 8, calls Jerusalem spiritual Sodom and Egypt. It does. Oh, Christians, I love to visit Israel. I'm going on a pilgrimage there this year. Oh, I love to see the places where Jesus walked. That is the most holy city, Jerusalem. I think you got cities mixed up. There's the new Jerusalem, my friend, and then there's Jerusalem, the earthly city, the wicked city that Jack and Donna are right here. This is spiritually Sodom and Egypt. Then this letter goes on to state another truth you may not know of. Jerusalem sits on 7 mountains. Wow. Now that's in the book of Revelation. That wicked empire. 7 mountains. Mm-hmm. Well, the Antichrist takes power there. Which city sits on seven mountains? Well, you know, a lot of people say, well, it's Rome. It's Rome. I've heard Moscow, too. And I haven't really looked up the geography, the topography, you might say, of Moscow and Rome. I know that Rome talks about the city that sits on seven hills. But this talks about seven mountains. It's in the Bible. Jerusalem has seven hills or seven mountains. Huh. Well, is it Rome? Is it Moscow? Or is it Jerusalem? That evil city. Well, Revelation says it's spiritually Sodom and Egypt. How much more wicked can you get than that? Now, I've looked up Moscow, and I can't find it in the Bible, the word Moscow. Rome's there, of course, but we know that Rome came and went. If you think that Italy's going to take over the world, well, I've got some swamp land in Louisiana I'll sell you. And then Jack wrote me this brilliant letter. He says, also, Jesus says in Revelation 2:9 and 3 verse 9 that the Jews of the flesh are the synagogue of Satan. There is no other people who have synagogues. It says also they're liars. Yeah, it does. The merchants of the earth in Revelation 18 and elsewhere in that Bible are Jews who own the whole world and who control who buys and sells as they virtually do now. And Jews control the military of the United States and NATO. And they can enforce their 666 mark in the whole earth. That's right. Wow. Jerusalem and Israel are referred to by Jews as feminine, thus the daughters of the mother Babylon. They follow the Babylonian Talmud. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that Jews persecute Christians and that Jews kill the Lord Jesus, forbidding the preaching of the gospel so that Gentiles will not be saved, and that they displease God, and that their hand is contrary to all men, and they fill up their sins always, for the wrath of God has come upon them to the uttermost. The wrath of God to the uttermost. How much? I mean, listen, I'd hate to face just a little bit of the wrath of God, wouldn't you? Dear friends, I don't want to face even a little bit of the wrath of God. That could overturn my whole day. That could ruin my day. In fact, ruin my whole life. You don't want to come up against the wrath of God in any amount, but they're facing it to the uttermost. And Jack here says that proves that they're the Antichrist. Antichrist, those who do not believe in Jesus as Lord, who do not believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, they are the Antichrist. There will be an Antichrist, a man, with a number, 666. But he has many little bitty Antichrists, you might say. Now listen to Trinity Broadcasting Network, they'll tell you, I'm a little God. They're little gods. There's all these little gods out there too. They're all a bunch of fakes. But these little Antichrists, they're not fakes. They're real. And by the way, the people out there claiming that they're little gods are also Antichrist. Well, thank you for that letter, Jack. You know, I get so many great letters. I'm just so pleased about this. Well, Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Dooley is a West Point graduate. Highly decorated combat veteran. He's so impressive as an officer that they gave him a job as instructor at the Joint Forces Staff College at the National Defense University. He's teaching these other officers on defense, on military subjects. Now, Colonel Dooley had 19 years of service. He's one of the most highly qualified military instructors. What does he teach on? Radical Islam and terrorism. He taught military students about the situations they would encounter, what to do about Islamic culture and traditions. He explained the mindset of Islamic terrorists, the mindset of the psychopathic Islamic terrorists. He had firsthand knowledge and experience. He taught courses that were suggested and approved by the Joint Forces Staff College. But Colonel Dooley is not at this university anymore. He is not teaching military students anymore because Islamic groups here in the United States heard about him. They wanted to make an example of him. They collectively wrote a letter expressing their outrage because he was preaching the truth, telling the truth, rather. And this sorry, no good Obama administration, they were so happy to assist the Islamic groups. Now, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Martin Dempsey, publicly degraded and reprimanded Dooley, and Dooley received a negative officer evaluation report. They're called OERs. Now, he had aced this report for the past 5 years. outstanding, now negative. He was relieved of teaching duties. His career has been red flagged. This man had a brilliant career ahead of him, but now, no more. He's finished. This makes me so mad. The Obama administration has demonstrated it can very speedily dismiss military brass that doesn't conform to its agenda. And surprisingly, nobody is speaking up for Colonel Dooley. Well, I am today. Tex Mars, I'm telling you, Martin Dempsey, General Martin Dempsey, and Commander-in-Chief, yeah, sure, Barack Obama, you should be ashamed of yourself. Now, Obama's been firing generals and colonels left and right. If they don't agree with transgenders coming into the military, if they don't agree with men kissing men, holding hands right there in the military, in uniform, good, loyal men are being thrown under the bus. Their careers ripped apart. Hey, did you know that modern art is paid for by the CIA? You know, as a kid, they used to show me, this is Picasso such and such. This is a man named Pollock or a Kooning or Rothko or Motherwell. Oh, modern art. It looked like a bunch of lines and stupid stuff. They told me that was real art. This is what's real art. It's abstract. And they have a title on it. You know, Mother and Child. Mother and Child, it looked like a monkey's scratchings. Looked like I could take my little dog and put some ink on its paws and have it bounce around a piece of paper, and there you have modern art. Well, we all know modern art's stupid. But it was built up as great. All the media built it up. Modern art is wonderful. That was back during the Cold War. Now it comes out that the CIA was paying for it all. They set up foundations. They set up museums. They paid museums to exhibit this art. And they got some very famous people. For example, believe it or not, goodness gracious, Rockefeller, David Rockefeller. It's incredible. Rockefeller was one of the biggest backers of abstract expressionism. Nelson Rockefeller. His mother had co-founded the Museum of Modern Art in New York. Now, how did Nelson Rockefeller get involved? The CIA came to him and said they wanted to boost modern art. It would make America appear to be avant-garde, futurist, so much smarter than the primitive art of the Soviet Union. So modern art was paid for by the CIA. They paid millions and millions of dollars to push, promote. It was a covert operation. This has come out now, declassified. My goodness. The Museum of Modern Art in New York was a paid-for facility. There was a Far-Field Foundation. They were really far-field, weren't they? We would go to somebody in New York who was a well-known rich person, and we would say, we want to set up a foundation. We would tell him what we were trying to do and pledge him to secrecy, and he would say, of course I'll do it. And then you would publish a letterhead, and his name would be on it, and there would be a foundation. It was really a pretty simple device for the CIA. It's according to a letter. It's been declassified now. Unbelievable. All that modern art that you thought were just chicken scratchings, but they told you was beautiful art worth millions of dollars each painting. You were right, friends. They were wrong. The CIA paid for it. No wonder Jack Kennedy was killed. He said, quote, I'm going to splinter the CIA into 1,000 pieces. He ended up dead. They ended up going on. And today, they're spending millions of our dollars torturing people and setting up the ISIS terrorist group in the Middle East. My goodness gracious, what have we come to? Truly, we have no significant impact on public policy today. This is Tex Mars, friends. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. I hope you'll tune in each week during the same time. Yes, discover the power of God's prophecy.